Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here, for the fellowship that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and for an eternal, infinitely wonderful provision through his death, burial, and resurrection. Father, we ask that we might see things that we haven't seen before, and Father, that our understanding, our commitment, our hunger for these things would be what it should be, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We've looked for a long time at the armor that's covered there in Ephesians. And the last thing we've been looking at is prayer. Being in contact with your commander in chief, so to speak, being able to call on him for the help you need, for the support. I think of it as being a much too grossly neglected provision that God has made. And I love any prayers that are going on behalf of the body of Christ, on behalf of Blaine. Those are wonderful things. I'm convinced there's people like me who are up in front and we're being held up by the people that are praying. It's kind of like that widow that Christ pointed out. He said, she's different than all the rest. Everybody else gave out of their surplus. She gave everything she had. You know, and I think of these people that are lifting us up. At any rate, we looked last time at what should it be our some of our major areas of prayer. And we looked at how we really, when we think these things through, we ought to be pursuing exactly what God's will is for us. And that led to and maybe this is just my problem. I think it's bigger than that, but I got thinking about what are some areas that most need my prayer, that most need your prayer in your own life. Let's start off in Hebrews chapter 4, familiar verse. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore, because we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who's passed through the heavens, other places, that's mentioned. I'll read verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted as in all things, as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, where God dispenses grace, favor to those who don't deserve it. Okay. Let us therefore draw near with confidence that he's listening, that we've trusted Christ and have a relationship through Christ. We've been born again. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. And so I'm looking at what are these times of need? Where do you find your areas where you're most stressed as a believer in Jesus Christ? And so I realize my areas may be different than yours, but this is where my thoughts have settled. And all of these things basically come down to attitude. You know, what's your attitude? Your heart of heart attitude that maybe only you know. I bet it, only you know, you know. Okay. So the first area is the area of rejoicing always in all things. How easily do you go off the rails of rejoicing? What does it take? Back when I had that thing that they called a stroke. So then they put me on this, I hate this stuff, blood thinner, Eliquis. And all I have to do is touch something, you know, and under my skin is this bleeding that goes on. I've got it weaned out to half a pill every 2 days. So this morning I walk out, I'm coming to preach this message. I come out of the door and the door hits my hand and I've got this bruise on the back of my hand. My immediate attitude, you know, wrong attitude. Because the scripture says in everything, you know, it's pretty clear. And so now let me just remind us. This really comes down to how well do I know him and how well do I trust him? Now, you know, I think most of us could write down the attributes of God, or maybe some of them, okay. And somebody says, well, what's God's like? Well, he's omniscient and he's perfect wisdom, he knows everything, all knowledgeable, omniscient is the word, omnipotent, he's all powerful, he's love. He knows the end from the beginning, he knows how everything should mesh and fit together, and he's orchestrating that. Well, if that's my foundation, and it is, why shouldn't I trust him? Why should I get upset immediately with something that, you know, the flat tire thing when you're late, you know, running out of gas, whatever it is that that happens. How do you deal with those things? And I think oftentimes our whole thing, I don't, what is going on? Okay. Now let's start off in Luke chapter 10. Luke 10. And there in Luke 10, I want to come down to verse 17. So the Lord is sent out in his earthly ministries, the Lord Jesus Christ sent out 70 of his disciples. Okay? And so now they've returned and they're giving a report to the Lord about what happened out there. He said he gave them all authority to go and do what he appointed them to do. And the 70 returned with joy. And this is, maybe we could say, this is the first thing out of their mouths. And this is what they say, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They were just amazed. People that were demon possessed that could cast them out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they come back and they're just overwhelmed by this. Okay? And what does the Lord say? And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread over upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Now, here's the part that I really want you to get. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. That's our foundation. This is something that can never be besmirched, never be taken away from you, never canceled, never. If you truly have repented and seen yourself as a sinner and turned only to Christ, and your trust and your confidence is in him because he died on the cross for your sins and rose again the third day, and you realize that he satisfied God's holy demands of you, he perfectly satisfied those, and you're trusting him as your Savior, well then, this is going to be eternally wonderful, okay? And it can't ever be taken away from you. Whereas all the things in this life are going to get messed up. You know what I mean by that? You're going to get old. You're going to have some health problems. You're going to have this. You're going to have that. You're going to, there's all kinds of things that are going to come your way. You're going to be disappointed, and you're going to disappoint people, and it just goes on and on. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Okay, now, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Now notice how this is phrased. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. What's the center of our rejoicing? Who he is and what he has done. I find if my eyes are on me, I'm not rejoicing. Do you know what I mean by that? I see failure, I see, you know, bad attitude, I see waste of time, fill it in. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing, things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. So what do we need? Rejoice in the Lord. Okay. And then from there, Philippians 4. And in Philippians chapter 4, let's come down to verse 4. And again, same book. Got it? Paul said, I can write this over and over. And it's important enough that that's what he's doing. Okay? Led by the Holy Spirit to do this for our benefit. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. So if I come to the Lord and I say, Lord, in prayer, would you help me rejoice? Would you center my thinking where it should be on the beauty and the wonder of who you are and what you've done? To me, that's a huge area, especially when my natural inclination is not to rejoice when anything goes contrary to what I want or what I expected. You know what I'm talking about. Just those things that come along that we don't like them. We just don't like them. Okay. And then let's go to 1 Thessalonians. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So how often is this to be my attitude? That's an interesting question. What is it to be? What's the ideal? What's my target that I need to be shooting for by his grace? Rejoice always. In other words, what does that mean? That means be constantly aware of your salvation, your Lord, your God, his provision, his perfect care of you. It's not going to be a time when we stand before him and He's going to say, you know, I really apologize. I didn't do this right. How many times in life have we heard that or had to say that to somebody? You know, but he does all things well. He does all things perfectly, without mistake, because he has all knowledge and all wisdom to do exactly what needs to be done in the best way to do it. And he's doing that on my behalf and on your behalf, okay? And so that's a cause. That's a great foundation for rejoice always. So as soon as I find myself not rejoicing, that means I need a correction here, you know. Okay, now, the next one follows very, very closely that first area, rejoice always in the Lord, okay? The second area that I think we would be well, it would be a great thing to start the day off with, Lord, help me in these areas. Now, maybe your area is a little different, fine, whatever. But the second area is to give him thanks continually throughout the day for everything that comes your way, good or bad, to thank him. Because if he's doing everything perfectly, this isn't, I have to thank him, don't I? It doesn't matter that I can't see how it all works together at this point. And a whole bunch of the time, I can't see that. I don't have a clue what he's doing. And he says, my ways are past finding out. But he also said in his word, the secret things belong to God, the things revealed belong to us. So that's the beauty of the word of God. These are the things revealed, you know, and they are for us, and they belong to us. They're a treasure to know actually what's going on planet Earth, to know what's going on in heaven, to know what's going to go on in the future. You know, okay, so I love this division of thanksgiving to the Lord in the book of Revelation. So let's go there to Revelation chapter 4. And in Revelation 4, verse 9. So here's a scene being revealed to us in heaven that is going to take place in the future. And it says this: and when the living creatures give glory, those are evidently some type of an angelic being, and when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, without beginning and without end, the 24 elders, I believe that represents the church, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns, which they have by God's grace, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, what's their area of praise? Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. What's the subject? For thou didst create all things, and because of thy will, they existed and were created. Have you ever grappled with this? Why am I here? Why did God ever choose to bring the likes of me onto his earth? To me, that's a huge thing. I've been in so much trouble. and fallen, well, just, it just amazes me that he created me and I'm here. And I'll be here I'm going to be in his presence forever. What is that? And then the other thing is that, you know, what you look at, everything you see, he created. You know, he made all of these things. And, you know, I get this Institute for Creation Research where they're doing some great, great things as far as studying and advocating for creation versus evolution. And so they've discovered, I wish I had the right name, but it's a guppy, okay? And this little guppy, it's this tiny little thing. There's a fish that likes to eat that guppy. And this guppy sets up, he finds a place, and he sets up in that place. I don't know whether he practices or not, but he can then turn his eyes totally black and wiggle around in a way that attracts his fish, the fish that wants to eat him. And then they call him he's like a bullfighter because he has, right close by, he turns his eyes black and he does this movement and this fish comes in to get him and he is a toreador. He zips around in this little place he has to hide and he likes to do that. And you say, evolution has no answer for that. You know, it's the survival of the fittest. It, what does it do? I mean, why would he do that? You know, it's just something God said, I want him to do this. And it's one of the, you know, who knows the number of, no matter what you look at, you see this intricacy and this overwhelming beauty of what God created. So that's the first area of that he's praised for. But then let's go next to Revelation chapter 5. So we're just going to go up one chapter, and we're going to come down to verse 8. So here the Lord Jesus Christ, after that period of silence in heaven, they're wondering who can take this book that will reveal what he is going to accomplish as he brings the world under his dominion and under his reign, so to speak. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy art thou, and I was singing this to Jesus Christ, worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou wast, so what's the area of praise? For thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Then come down to verse 12, saying with a loud voice, all these myriads, a myriad is 10,000, so it's 10,000s of 10,000s of angels, plus thousands of thousands, you know, 1,000 thousands is 1,000,000, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Now you may want to disagree with me, that's fine. But I believe God's going to give voice to his creation. Everything is going to cry out in praise to him. The trees, the fish, the everything. Because that's right. He created all things and he redeemed. You know, the curse is going to be done away with and all these things that are so much a part of this this present world. Okay. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Remember, the first thing we looked at is always rejoicing. The second thing now follows right in the same thought, and that is giving him thanks. If you understand who he is, and that from him and through him and to him are all things, then you understand also that he deserves to be thanked. It's really stealing not to thank him. You know, sometimes maybe you do something for somebody, and even though you're an imperfect person and so forth, that you do something, and then you just expect, well, maybe they say thank you. Well, what about God, who does it all, and he does it all perfectly, and he does it all in accordance with his perfect holiness and his perfect love and so forth? Does he deserve to be thanked? Oh my, that is so, so important. Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks for all things. Now that's, you know, that's that little word that's so big. All things. How many all things did you have in your life last week? How many all things are coming this week? You know, there's a lot of things that you're gonna deal with. Okay, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Oh my! Then Hebrews 13. And in Hebrews 13, we're going to come down to verse 15, where it says this: through him, then, through the Lord Jesus Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. Here we are made priests, royal priests in the family of God. Through him, then, let us... What kind of sacrifice do we offer up? This is an interesting thing to think about. Old Testament priests were were dealing with animal sacrifices all the time, and meal offerings and all of those kind of things they were dealing with all the time. Now, we've been given a priesthood, and so what is it? The sacrifice of praise to God. So thanking him is praising him, okay? Because it goes on and it says, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. This isn't something we should have to force ourselves to do. This is just right. This is correct thinking. This is thinking that is in keeping with who this magnificent, magnificent God is. Okay, he deserves it. Okay, let's go next to 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 18. Now, it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, notice this passage and the others. They don't say, in everything you like, give thanks. I mean, we might, that would be easier. Okay. But what about when it runs absolutely contrary to what you desire, what you expected? What about that? Because a whole bunch of life is full of those other things. We all know that. I mean, you'd have to be really ignorant to not recognize there's an awful lot of things in life that don't go the way the way that you wanted them to. Okay. And so what about those things? Well, if my Heavenly Father works all things after the counsel of his own will, and then that results in the events of my life, then it's the perfect thing. You know, it's, you'd have to say, when you understand that, you'd have to say, you know, what the Father brought into my life here, I didn't, initially I had a real problem with it, and then I thought, I remembered who he is, and I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change it one bit, because this is his will in my life, and he's worthy of praise, and the praise of thanksgiving. Okay, now, here's the thing. I feel like this has been building. So first of all, we looked at an attitude of what? To rejoice in everything. And secondly, looked at to be thankful in everything. Now I'm going to bring them together. I'm not doing it because I find this in Scripture. I'm going to bring the two of them together because this is huge to me. You say, well, what are you saying? Well, let me give you the thing. The third area is joyously giving thanks. How often have you given thanks but not joyously? You know what I mean by that? All right. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, and we're going to come down to verse 9. Now notice the subject, the context. Paul says concerning the church, the saints there at Colossae, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you. And to ask, now what's Paul going to request? That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Now here it is. To please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Now here it is. Joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Okay, but notice, joyously giving thanks. I don't know. I understand giving thanks, and I understand rejoicing in the Lord. But putting these two together, to me, is powerful. Just powerful. Take your greatest disappointment of the last year, whatever that is, and do you see yourself as that thing came rolling in on you, joyously giving thanks? Okay. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 32. Here's an example of this. But remember, the writer of Hebrews says, but remember the former days, when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle, the surrounding unbelievers, persecution, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. In other words, believer came alongside believer, like one believer's hauled out and persecuted and taken to jail, and so this other believer goes and visits him. Well, now he's marked himself as he's one of them too, okay? And so it says, for you showed sympathy to the prisoners. And here's the verse that just set me back on my heels. And accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession, an abiding one. That's a, you know, I say, don't touch my stuff. You know, that's mine. And this just indicts me. It indicts me. Because, and this is why I come back to, I need to be in prayer about this with my Heavenly Father, that I might learn how to joyously give thanks, all rolled up into one ball. You get what I'm saying? Not just giving thanks, but joyously accepting this and joyously giving thanks. You get that idea? That's huge to me. But for you showed sympathy for the prisoners. So here's this guy, and he goes down to visit his friend in prison. He's now marked. And so they go and they take the visitor. They go and they take his stuff. They say, well, we have a new law in the books that if you're one of them, we can take your stuff. You know, that may be coming in our country. It certainly seems much more of a possibility than it ever did before, I'm convinced. And, you know, you can think of, suppose I say, and this is the Marine in me, I'll kill you. You come to take my stuff, I'll kill you. All right. But then, what am I saying? If I do that, there's a lot of other problems involved, but if I do that, then what I'm really saying is, I haven't placed the priority of my possession in the future with the Lord throughout eternity with him in heaven. I've denied that by saying, no, it's all right here. And I know that's wrong. Okay, I know that's wrong. Father, what things we've looked at this morning, and oh Lord, we certainly want to please you, and yet we realize that we need help. Desperately need help, the power of the Holy Spirit, filling of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God working in our hearts. Oh, Lord, that you would do that work and mature us and have our attitudes be attitudes that are pleasing to you, where we're joyously accepting these things, especially joyously accepting the things that run counter to what we want or what we expect. So we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.